Karen Montgomery is a craft-based artist working from a background in textiles, interior design, and her innate passion for ecology. Montgomery shows an attentiveness to her ecological surroundings and prides herself as a gardener and observer with always an interest in making. As an observer, Montgomery has drawn close attention to the camellia flower within her current exhibition at Object Space, the Camellia Society. The show presents 10 beautifully detailed, handcrafted replica paper camellias that line the gallery in an ode to a garden, paying close attention to a normally overlooked camellia plant. Karen puts its beauty to the forefront, reminding us of the little nuggets of beauty sitting right in our backyard, inviting viewers to engage with attentiveness and to become observers of the beauty within our own ecological surroundings. I had a korero with Karen about the show and her overall practice. Here it is now.
My name is Karen Montgomery. I'm from Tamaki Makaurau. I have a background in textiles, mostly out of Japan, and always an interest in making. Our botanical world has loomed pretty large in my life as a gardener, as an observer. The plants and trees that surround us and enrich our world and give us joy, though often very ignored, or, you know, we see people out there sort of hacking them down endlessly. So that would really form my interest in what came next.
And your current show at Object Space, the Camellia Society, presents 10 beautifully detailed replica paper camellias that line the gallery in kind of an ode to a garden. I would like to start the conversation about this exhibition by asking about how the specific practice of paper flower making arose. What gravitated you towards it?
Well, of course, COVID, as with many things for us, we were left alone without work and largely at home. I was wandering the streets, as we were all wandering the streets, trying to avoid people. And the gardens are the things that interested me as I wove my way around the area. And the beauty, the absolute beauty that, so, as I said, so often ignored. And then I would pass the local dairy and they were still open and they would have buckets of sort of dying flowers outside, which I thought were utterly exquisite. And people simply, you know, we might go in and think, oh, well, you know, $7.99, we'll buy a bunch of flowers. Oh, well, that's all right. Without really noticing the absolute charm of these things that have been around for thousands of years. And they've all but lost their meaning for us, I feel. And they're somewhat reduced to something that's fashionable, something in a bouquet, perhaps on the table, a bunch of flowers, something pretty in a garden, frustrating if it doesn't flower, the trees that need pruning, and so on and so forth. So really, yes. That's how it came about. I sat down with some old crepe paper that I had in my cupboard. I found some wire and I probably, you know, went around the neighbourhood and I clipped a few branches here and there and I started trying to replicate them. I would pull them apart and see what was inside. Really astounding. See what was inside and start by building up in that same way, starting with the inside.
So it really started off as like a scavenging for materials around your house and kind of making do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which I think is so beautiful way to start with, like, what's around my house? What can I make with these materials that are around me?
Yes.
Yeah. And how has this expanded over the years since that? What, how have your use of materials changed and how have you developed your techniques in order to make them?
Well, quite a lot. I mean, I look back and think, oh, they're rather shameful, really, what I first made. they were very naive, and I've got better and better at it, and somewhat with a sort of an OCD mannerism, I've really refined what I was wanting to do in terms of making botanically correct plants. And as I say, you know, starting from the inside and building up, I have now sourced papers from Japan and Italy, various wires, but also using things that I might find at home. You know, I will soak some of the papers and add a little colour from a be anything. Beetroot's pretty good, actually. Tea and coffee is quite good too. And try to, you know, get my colours coming out through the paper with using those various things. And then it's a trial and error. I don't make patterns. If I have to repeat something, I just go and get another branch or another flower and I start again. And each one will be very different because of that, as is each flower or plant or branch or whatever. They're always somewhat different. I love the aging process. I don't want simply beautiful flowers. I think that the aging and regeneration is equally as beautiful as the fresh new bloom.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that was one of my favourite bits about the exhibition, seeing all these like little bits of like wear and tear in the different kinds of colours. It kind of brings it, I don't know, more into like the everyday realm.
Of course. Yeah. And you then get an idea that, you know, insects have been on the plant, that they've chewed through it in part, and they have a part to play in the whole system as well, as do the magnificent colours. And sometimes the colours are in nature. You know, when you bring them inside and I replicate them and I think, yeah, I've got that right, that colour's right, it pretty well looks unreal. We don't really notice that they can be so vibrant. Perhaps a yellowing leaf it can be bright, bright yellow and whatever, but there we go, they are.
Yeah, and the camellia plant, it was once so prized and now it's kind of a plant that surrounds us in our everyday lives, finding them in our back of our gardens, along the sidewalk, on a stroll around the block, almost fading into the surroundings if you don't take the time to notice its blooming flowers or the fallen petals under our feet. Could you tell me a bit more about why you were drawn to the camellia flower as a subject matter, as well as a bit more about the plant in general and its arrival in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Well, you're quite right, Maya. That's the reason is just as you've explained. We have them everywhere here. They are prolific, and they are just not noticed. They're not the prized flowers in the bouquet or anything like that.
Yeah.
And they generally, you know, people get a little cross as the petals fall onto the footpath and it can be a bit slippery and whatever. And they just are prolific with a magnificent history. They come from China, one of the earliest documented flowers, bushes, hedges. We're looking at, you know, around 30,000 plus years ago in China, and many of the plants that we have around us nowadays do originate from China. They were then followed into Japan very early on, so they have a long history there in Japan as well. And through the 16th and 17th century, they were taken into Europe. When they got to Europe, the weather being what it was, quite different from Asia, they really didn't thrive terribly well. And they were very prized, but to have them in one's garden, you had to have a glass house. And if you had a glass house, it meant that you were quite well-to-do and you had status. So they were sort of rare and prized in that way. And then we don't really know when they first came into New Zealand, probably with seeds, but we're not terribly sure. We haven't. Some of the plants that came in, we know, came with various people coming into the country, and it's noted and documented, but not the camellia. By about 1840, they had become quite prolific because we didn't need a glass house here. They really went quite mad.
Yeah.
And camellia societies were starting to pop up through the land. There are still 16 camellia societies in the country today. So they still have, you know, quite a prominence, and there are thousands of cultivars. So they're very prolific now. But still, you know, we walk past every day and we tend not to notice them.
And what are your intentions through the presentation of this body of work? What do you wish for viewers as they move through the space? What would you like them to experience and take away from it?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like them to be very accessible to everybody, and people can take what they will from it. But really, because they're handmade and they're botanically correct, I think and I'm hoping that people will be drawn to them to look more closely and then to go and look in our gardens and along our streets at these beautiful, beautiful plants that are almost singing out there for us to take notice of them.
Yes.
And by making it by hand, you know, that does draw people in. They say, oh, my goodness, you know, that's actually paper and whatever. So that's what I hope, which is pretty simple, but I think needs to be recognised.
Yeah, draw attention to this little bit of beauty just in our backyards.
Absolutely. There for everybody to see. Not hard to grow. Quite hard to kill.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. That was Karen Montgomery speaking to me about her current exhibition, The Camellia Society, on now at Object Space until the 24th of August.